Amen. Women commit. Some woman created that shoe right there. It hurts my feet. A man never would do that to another man. I got some bedroom shoes. Fuzzy bedroom shoes. They don't have no elephant on them, no kitty cat. They're fuzzy lined. That's my home garments. Amen. I'm going to be at ease, see. I'm going to be at ease. Now, I'm not at ease with y'all think, well, preacher, he likes to. And I think you'll dress right to go to church. I really do. I'd be ashamed not to after what all he's done for me. But this is not comfortable. Some of you women, I don't know how you wear some of those clothes. I can tell by looking at you, you ain't comfortable. Went to Walmart. Don't tell nobody. Went to Walmart the other day. And I'm walking down through and I'm looking at something. And somebody passes by me. And I look up just about waist high, and I look on up, and it's a Latino woman, and she's got on what looks like pantyhose and boots. And I thought, and you can see right through them, and I thought, she forgot to put on the rest of her clothes. It wasn't pretty. But she was comfortable, I guess. If this is her world, let her be comfortable in it. Amen? But hey, one day I get to quit traveling this old world and I'll get home and I can get comfortable. That's what that means to me. To me, it means the triumph, the victory, not over death, hell, and the grave, but over sin, sickness, and failure. It'll be the victory over that when he comes. Amen? I don't know, the older I get, the sicker I get, I guess. but I don't enjoy being sick. Last year, 300 people died of just the flu. Just the flu. Go get your flu shot. I do. But 300 people died of the flu last year. And they expect more than that this year. Chicken pox is coming back. Measles is coming back. All these childhood, because people quit giving their kids vaccines. So the diseases are coming back. And people are dying from them. But one day we're going to go to a land where there is no disease. No more sickness. I held my mama's hand while she crossed the river. Won't be no more of that. No more death. No more graveyard. That's what the blessed hope means to me. The blessed hope means to me I'll be in the presence of the King of Kings. And not only will I be in His presence, I will be like Him. He said that we're going to be like Him. Amen. I don't know everything that means, but I know it means an eternal glorified body. Amen. And it's going to look like Him. And some of y'all can put away your makeup because when He left the world, He was 33 and a half years old. I assume He still looks like He's 33 and a half years old. Wouldn't some of y'all look like Jeffrey, birthday boy, 62 years old? But the blessed hope means everything believers have ever hoped for. Everything we've ever endured for. Everything we've ever strived for. That's what the blessed hope means. Some people throw that term around. I don't think you'll do it. It's the only hope for Israel. We're the only friend Israel's got, America. There are no other friends to Israel anymore. And about 49% of Americans don't want to be friends of Israel anymore. Setting it up for the Antichrist. We're the only hope Israel's got right now. But one day the blessed hope's coming and He'll rescue them. Did you know this? His second coming is the only hope for America. Now we can vote. We just voted. And we can lose. We just did some. We won most, but we lost some. Thank God things are going good right now. But you know well as I do, it won't take but one more or two more presidential elections. It can go the other way again. And about, again, 49% of Americans want it to go the other way. So the blessed hope's the only hope for America. So then comes my sermon. Turn to Matthew 24. I could just quit right there and be ahead, couldn't I? Matthew, you weren't supposed to say anything. Matthew 24. Y'all ain't never right. Matthew 24. Very well-known passage of Scripture. Now, we don't base our doctrine on the rapture of the church on Matthew 24. But there's some rapture in it, and there's some second coming in it. And so let's just kind of go through it. I'm going to read and holler and read and holler and see how it comes out, okay? And y'all just listen and holler. Look at Matthew 24, verse 1 says, "And Jesus went out and departed from the temple, and his disciples came to him for to show him the buildings of the temple." They were showing off the temple. "And Jesus said unto them, See ye not all these things? Verily I say unto you, there shall not be left here one stone upon another that shall not be thrown down." And by the way, that original temple's gone. Thrown down. The stones that were there were dragged away so they couldn't rebuild it. Now, look at this, verse 3. "And as he sat upon the Mount of Olives, the disciples came unto him privately, saying, Tell us, when shall these things be? And what shall be the sign of thy coming of the end of the world?" Now, I want to just stop you right there. Don't be looking for signs. The Savior has come. The sign is the cross we need. That's when the last of the last days started, when they nailed him to the cross. That's our sign. That's all you need. Now, we're going to see some other things in here, but most of these things are not for the rapture of the church. Therefore, when he comes back to destroy the wicked and set up his kingdom on the earth for 1,000 years. Amen. So let's look at verse 4. "And Jesus answered and said unto them, Take heed that no man deceive you. For many shall come in my name." Boy, ain't that the truth. "Saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many." Joseph Smith, Charles Taz Russell, Young Sung Moon, Kardesh, whatever his name was down there in Waco, Texas. Just one after another, Jim Jones, they'll come. He said, don't let them deceive you. Don't do it. Don't listen to them. And there shall be, ye shall hear wars and rumors of wars, and see that ye be not troubled. For all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. I remember I worked at Piedmont Distribution. I was working, you know, while we were building the church and everything. And I had to work to make a living. And my manager hated me for some reason. My supervisor hated me. They said we didn't need a Sunday school there. We needed work. And I worked harder than they did. But anyway, the first Iraqi war, Kuwait and all that started. Everybody was up there. This is the end of the world. This is the end of the world. And they'd run around that place with like the proverbial chicken with his head cut off. There's all these signs. And the manager, who I thought was an educated man, he claimed to be a Christian, he said, "Well, it's in the Bible. It's in the Bible. A small country shall rule the whole world." He wasn't talking to me. He was talking to somebody else. And the Bible said, let the ignorant be ignorant still. So I kept right on working. A little bit later, he was talking to somebody else, and he turned around to me and said, ain't that right, preacher? I said, no. He said, what? I said, that ain't in the Bible. He said, yes, it is. My grandma told me that was in the Bible. I said, well, I'm sure your grandma was a good woman. And then the other guy, he claimed to be a gospel singer. He rode in a gospel bus with a gospel group, though he never went to church as a womanizer. But he was a gospel singer. And he said, yeah, it is. It's true. It's in there somewhere. I said, I'll tell you guys what. Before this day is out, if you can find that in the Bible, I'll buy you a steak dinner at any restaurant in Charlotte that you want to go to. I promise you, I'll pay for it. Oh, man. We don't have a Bible. I said, I knew that. I got some in the car. I went and got them, brought them out, handed them to the guy. And every time I'd go through the office, about every hour, I'd say, you found it yet? No, but it's in here somewhere. First time they ever tried to read the Bible in their life, man. They was wanting that steak dinner, you know. All day, 8 hours, every time I'd go through the office, I said, you find it yet? And then finally, on the 8th hour, I went through there and they were disgusted just sitting there. I said, you didn't find it, did you? And they said, no. I said, you know why you didn't find it? They said, no. I said, it ain't in there. And I read them verse 6, and you shall hear wars and rumors of wars. See that you be not troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. For nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines and pestilence and earthquakes in diverse places. And all these, every one of them, are the what? Beginning of sorrows. Now, go on and read with me. Then shall they deliver you up to be afflicted, and shall kill you, and you shall be hated of all nations for my name's sake. Now, he's not talking to Christians there. He's talking to the Jew. All nations hate the Jew. And then shall many be offended, and shall betray one another, and shall hate one another. That sounds like Baptist to me. And many false prophets shall rise and shall deceive many. There's some more Baptists. And because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. There's you some more Baptists. And he that endure to the end, the same shall be saved. And this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for witness unto all nations. Then shall the end come. Now, that's the signs of the times before the second coming of Christ. Now, these are signs for the second coming of Christ, not the rapture of the church. So, we do see these things, do we not? We see a lot of stuff going on. So, if those are signs for the second coming of Christ, and that shows that he's nearer to coming back, then that makes it even closer for the rapture of the church. And that's the day we live in. Now, I want you to know false preachers, false teachers, false prophets, false teaching. You can't even hardly turn on TV anymore without seeing that. Benny Hinn walks out there with his bad breath and blows on people and 300 of them fall over. That ain't God. That's the devil. Amen? You'll be deceived. You better watch out. You'll be deceived. And by the way, have you ever noticed they only heal people that don't have physical infirmities? Yeah. He's going blind. You're healed. Oh, I can see. How do we know? Yeah. He's got cancer in his liver. Oh, he's healed. How do we know? How do we know he ever had it in the first place? Right. Amen? When was the last time you saw a guy walk up there that was in the Iraqi war and say, I'm missing my leg from my knee down, fix it? You ain't going to see that. Because it's fakery. And it's false prophets. And it's false teaching. And they do it for the love of money. Now, I want you to notice, if you will, I want you to notice this in verse 12. Because of iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. Now, I think that's the day we live in. Amen. I think the day that we live in. I think he's talking about the love of God, the love to God, the love of Christ, the love to Christ. It'll get cold. Would you agree with me that the so-called church is pretty cold the day we live in? Yes. Would you agree with me that there's as much iniquity in the church as there is in the world? Yes. And that iniquity causes those people to be cold. Because that iniquity abounds in the church, then therefore, if you're in the flesh, you can't be spiritual minded. If you're living in iniquity, you can't be holy and love people like you ought to. Come on, help me, Baptist. Amen. I know it scares Baptists, but it's still true. That word holy, he said, be ye holy. And because of the condition of the church, it would seem like as we get nearer to the end and we as Bible believers can plainly see it, here's the way I look at it. Dumb as I am, if I can see that, anybody ought to be able to see it. And so it seemed like if we could see that all of the professing church could see it. Wouldn't you agree? But and they would get closer to God. And they would get more fervent in spirit and soul winning and evangelism and loving people. Would you say amen on that? Amen. But it seems it's just the other way around. They're dumbing everything down. They're dirtying everything up to bring the world into the church instead of the church going into the world and preaching the gospel. Come on, bro. The love of many shall wax cold. Do you know how unusual it is to have a crowd this size on Sunday night? Do you know how unusual it is to have people that enjoy being at church? Now, I'm not talking about enjoy rock band. I'm not talking about enjoy that thing that they call church, which ain't nothing but a rock concert party. I'm not talking about that. Or even bluegrass or country music party. A lot of them have those. But I'm talking about when the last time you went in church and got tired of shaking people's hand and hugging people's neck? When was the last time the preacher had to call them down to get them quiet so they could hear the choir sing? Amen, amen. But that's the day we live in. That's the day we live in. Somebody asked me one time, said, well, Pastor, where would you go to church if we had not started this church? I said, I don't know. The church I got saved in is not the same church. The church I got called to preach in and was ordained don't even exist anymore. Blessed hope. The church that I was trained to do all kinds of things and work with children, blessed hope. Grace Baptist Church on White Street, where I was first youth pastor job I ever had, was there in my 20s. They don't exist anymore. Where would you go? Because the love of many has waxed cold. I thought about that when I was reading this. And it says, because iniquity shall abound. You know, a lot of people watch this on Facebook. They listen to it on the internet. You wouldn't believe we have 1,500 followers on Facebook that just follow our church Facebook page. Not the bulletins. I don't let everybody see those, but the Facebook page. And then our website has a little clicker on it that you can look at. If you'll look down at the bottom page, it's a tracker thing. If you click on that, it'll open up and it'll show you the address of the last 100 people that looked at that site. And it scrolls. When 101 comes in, one drops off, 102, one drops off, and it just scrolls as people come on. Now, it doesn't give you a house address. It gives you your computer address, the IP identification number, and the city and the state. And it shocked you how many people, and I don't know who they are. It doesn't tell you that. I can tell you their computer name, IP 497231 or whatever. And I can tell you where they came from. And I can see where they come back, and they come back, and they come back, and they come back. And the young man was here today. He said, I watch this church every Sunday morning on Belinda's Facebook page. He said, I love it. He said, I'm so happy to be here. When he left out, he said, it's better in person than it is. He said, I'm going to be back. I'll be back. And it's not that there's no churches. It's just that the love of many is waxed cold and iniquity has abound. It's just hard to find a place where you can feel the power and the presence and the love of God. Amen. And so that's the day we live in. Now we're closer to the end than our parents were. And we're certainly closer to the end than the New Testament beginning was, the apostles. But they felt like it was coming at any time because Jesus told them this, see. And then he says this. He says in verse 14, and the gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for witness unto all nations, and then shall the end come. Now, you're going to turn on TV about any day, and there's going to be some TV preacher, and he's going to be raising money, and he's wanting to buy a new satellite or put up a new station or something all the time, millions and millions and millions of dollars. And here's what he's going to say. This is so we can fulfill prophecy and preach the gospel to the ends of the earth, to every creature, so Jesus can come back. CBN. You remember CBN? You remember Pat Robertson? He raised money every day, it seemed like. Millions and millions, and bought satellites and transmitters, and bought satellites and transmitters, and bought satellites and transmitters, and made a lot of, when I was lost and I saw him do it, I thought, he'd say, we've got to reach those nations that have not been reached, those impoverished nations, poor people, Africa and India and all these places. And I'm sitting there and I'm thinking, they ain't even got electricity. What are they running their television on? Batteries? Somebody's lying here. And then Pat Robson took that network, CBN, and sold it to Fox. And they give him a couple hours on there every day free. I want to know where the money went. And I want to know why you didn't write a letter to all them poor old women and all that that sent you that stinking money to buy those satellites to put up there and buy the equipment to transmit by. I want to know why CBN didn't have a meeting and vote on whether or not to do that. Yeah. You say, well, I like him. Well, that's fine. You like him if you want to. But I'm telling you this, the gospel was preached to all the ends of the earth before television was ever invented. Before radio was invented. The gospel has been preached to every continent. Right. Now, I'm not talking about every person, because every person, there's just no way we can reach every person. Of course, they're going to tell you on TV they can, but they can't. But there's no way. He didn't say that. What he said was, "And the gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for witness unto all nations." The gospel has been carried to every nation now on planet Earth. Yes. So what does that mean? We're closer today than when he said this in Matthew 24. There's very few places in this world that people have never heard the name of Jesus Christ. And if they have not heard, it's been preached there before, but somebody's taken over and don't let it be preached anymore. Now, I want you to notice something. In verse 16, he says this, "Then let them which be in Judea flee into the mountains, and let him which is on the housetop not come down to take anything out of his house. Neither let him which is in the field return back to take his clothes. And woe unto them that with child, and to them that give suck in those days." In other words, pregnant ladies and ladies with infants. "But pray ye that your flight be not in the winter, neither on the Sabbath day. For then shall great tribulation, such as what was not since the beginning of the world to this time, no, nor shall ever be. And except those days should be shortened, there should be no flesh saved. But for the elect's sake, those days shall be shortened." Now he's warning them. He's warning them. He's saying, "I'm coming back. And when I come back, watch out. You better be ready. And woe unto those who are not. Woe to them. It's going to be a time of great tribulation." Great tribulation. Now he's talking to the disciples. Remember, he's talking to the apostles. They're Jews. He's talking about the Jewish nation. The great tribulation. Daniel's 70th week. Jacob's trouble. That's all about the Jew. The whole world will be affected. But God's driving his people home during this time. Amen. That's what he's going to do. He's going to drive his people home. Now, in the meantime, the whole world's being hurt. And it's not atomic bombs. And it's not some kind of homemade plague. It's God sent, every bit of it. Now, he says, "Now, except the days should be shortened," there wouldn't be anybody left on planet Earth. "God's wrath will be poured out so much that unless God himself had shortened those days, stopped them, he'd have killed everybody on planet Earth." Now, that gets rid of this namby-pamby, sissy, little Jesus that we hear about on television and hear about in these modern songs, "Jesus is my boyfriend" stuff. This is a holy God. Amen. Pouring out a holy wrath on a whole unholy world.
Amen.
And judgment will fall. Now I know it looks bad right now. Hollywood, you can't even turn on regular television unless you got one of those old cowboy channels or something, you know. I Love Lucy. Everybody loves Lucy. Leave It to Beaver. The boy's 65 years old now. Can you believe that? Hard to find good stuff. You can't hardly turn on the radio. York County, you can't pick up but two Christian stations in York County. One of them's a hippie station. And the other one is supposed to be a fundamental broadcast network. They have some good stuff on there, but the singing ain't really inspiring. They don't have our kind of singing. Amen? I mean, good old-fashioned Southern choir singing, amen? But you get some good Bible lessons, but that's two out of all of that. on all of those radio stations. Now you go to North Carolina, it gets a little better. You go to Georgia, it gets a little better. South Carolina's supposed to be a heart of the Bible Belt full of heathens. They don't want to hear the radio. Don't want to hear the gospel on the radio. But I'm telling you that to tell you this. As we get closer to the end, we as Bible believers in the second coming of Jesus Christ are going to look rarer and rarer. I don't know if that's a good word to use or not. I don't get invited to many meetings, and it don't bother me because I don't preach to impress. I'd rather be like we was here today and see the power of God come down, lost people convict, and saints get blessed. A lot of these meetings is just preachers trying to out-preach each other. I won't never win at that because I'm not that kind of preacher. I'm a pastor. Thank you, brother. We got one. Amen. And then, but you know what? I have been invited to meetings. And Brother Ron, when I look at the list of who's going to be there and who's going to sing, and I'm not going without looking at that list. See, I've been around a long time. I know what they say about me. I've been around a long time. I know what they are. And a lot of times I won't go to the meeting. Now, I may tell you to go because you don't know what I know. It won't hurt you. Some of it won't. Some of it, I'll tell you not to go. But I found out that my kind of Bible believing is rare.
Yes.
And as we get closer to the end, don't be shocked.
Amen.
Yep. It's going to be more rare.
Yes.
And look, unless he comes back, the world would kill every believer on planet Earth. The only thing that holds them back from killing me and you is our constitution that Christians wrote. Our government doesn't like us. This world doesn't like us. A lot of churches don't like us. Some of y'all get made fun of for going to this church.
Amen.
They wasn't supposed to say amen right there. That's right. Jump up, shout. Amen. 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 Now I want you to look at verse 23. I'm about through. I'm just reading and hollering, okay? Verse 23, then if any man shall say unto you, lo, here is Christ, or there, believe it not. For there shall rise false Christ and false prophets, and shall show great signs and wonders, insomuch that if it were possible, they shall deceive the very elect. Behold. You see that? Behold. He said, look, behold, look, I've told you before. Wherefore, if they say unto you, behold, he's in the desert, go not forth. Behold, he's in the secret chambers, go not forth. Believe it not. Now, did you know there's a movement on Facebook and on the internet, and you might not have noticed it, but they've sent stuff to mine, and they'll put it on your page. And it's in China. And at first, it looks good. They're singing, and they're clean, and they're dressed good and everything, and they're using Bible scripture, but you get to listening to it for real. And after a few minutes, you'll figure out that they have found a new Christ. And they're trying to get you to come to Him. He's in China. There's one in India right now. I used to know how they pronounce his name. He calls himself the Christ. There's one in South America. He calls himself a Christ. And if I remember correctly, his last fellowship was about 8,000 people in his church, and every one of them has to get a tattoo, 666 right there or 66 right there. It's not fake. I've seen it. He has one himself, and he calls himself the Christ. And they follow him, and they speak in tongues, and they roll around on the floor, and they have a good time. They sing and dance and play the drums, you know. They have a good time, but they're false Christ. Now, sometimes you'll find a pastor or an evangelist. He'll turn around. Jim Jones, when he first started out, he was Church of Christ pastor in California. Jim Jones, y'all remember him. You old people do. And whenever he got awards from the president and the governor and the mayor for his social work, and he was reaching the poor and all that, and they just loved him, and his church was packed with thousands and thousands of people. And then it started. And it got so bad one day that he threw the Bible, and I read the sermon. He threw the Bible down, and he put his foot on it, and he said, "Too many of y'all are reading this," and he cussed, "blankety blank Bible, and you're not listening to me." And then the government got him for tax evasion. He kept raising money and getting money. The government was after him. So he moved his group, 900 and something of them, to a jungle way down there in Ghana or somewhere. And hid out down there. And it was all kind of sexual sins and black magic and things like that. Till finally, a United States senator or congressman went down there to check it out and got killed. Got killed. Then when they found out the government was getting them, he had these people so deceived, they knew what they were doing, and they drank poison in Kool-Aid. 900 people. How could that happen? I'll tell you why. He says it right there. Many will be deceived. Many will be deceived. He said, don't believe it. If they say he's over here, don't believe it. If they say he's over there, don't believe it. You keep doing what you're supposed to be doing. You keep following Christ. Amen? He said, for as the lightning cometh out of the east and the shineth even unto the west, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. He said, when he comes, everybody's going to know it. It's not going to be a secret. He's talking about the second coming. He's not going to be hiding out in the desert or the jungle. He's going to come in all his glory like lightning going across the sky, and it'll light up the whole world, and everybody will know he has come. Watch out for those people who say, man, we go to this church over here and we found the Christ. Don't go in there. Don't go in there. You can be deceived too. Amen. And he said, for wherever the carcass is, there will the eagles be gathered together. He says, he's coming to get his followers. And immediately, look at this, after the tribulation period of those days shall the sun be darkened, and the moon shall give her light, shall not give her light, and the stars shall fall from heaven, and the powers of heaven shall be shaken. I want you to stop right there. That is not climate change. It is climate change, but it ain't the kind they talk about. Amen? Amen? There is climate change, but he's the one to be doing this changing. Amen? There's going to be some... Hey, it'll be unmistakable. Don't look... Listen to me. Don't buy these books that try to explain the book of Revelation with nuclear bombs and armies of men and tanks. And Hal Lindsey's Great Planet Earth. Y'all remember that old book? I read that thing. And he would describe the creatures let out of the bottomless pit in the book of Revelation as helicopters with missiles on them. And the fire falling down out of the sky, the mountain that came down out of the sky and fell in the water, he called that an asteroid that nuclear bombs had blown out of the sky. Just trying to make it modernized where people would believe it better. Well, I thought it was easier just to believe what the Bible said. Amen. And by the way, you're not going to run out of water. You're drinking the same water that Noah drank, that Adam drank. There's been no new water. And you're not going to run out of water. But one day God will turn the water into blood, and one third of the world is going to die. You're not going to run out of trees. Did you know that people that buy trees to make paper pay for those trees? Did you know that they'll plant two in the place of everyone they cut down because there's lots of money in paper products? You're not going to run out of trees. But one day God's going to burn them up. One third of the green stuff will be burned up. God will do that. But see, they're working up to these things to be able, they think, and they don't even know what they're doing, to explain away the work of God. Yes. They've always done that. Yes. They've tried to explain away the works of Jesus Christ when he'd healed the sick or raised the dead. They tried to explain away when Paul would do something. They've always done that. Don't listen to that stuff. He's coming. Yes. I got in a hurry. Now listen to this. He says in verse 30, then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven. Then shall all the tribes of the earth mourn. Now, wait a minute, you'd think they'd be happy. No. No, because we're not in this crowd. We're gone 7 years before this. Then shall all the tribes of the earth mourn. And they shall see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. Let them laugh at us now. Yes. Let them make fun of us now. Let them mock His coming now. Yes. But one day, Brother Jeffrey, they're going to see Him. Amen. And they're going to see Him in all His glory. He's not going to be that little baby. He's not going to be the suffering servant. He's not going to be the crucified Savior. He's going to be the risen, glorified King of kings and Lord of lords. He's coming back in all His might and all His glory. And they're going to mourn when they see Him. And they're going to cry for the rocks to fall on them and hide them from Him. Let them laugh at us now. They won't be laughing then. Amen? Now, last but not least, verse 31, and He shall send His angels with a great sound of a trumpet, and they shall gather together His elect from the four winds, from one end of heaven to another. Now, that's the same as the 2 Thessalonians rapture. And He warned us, be ready. Be looking. Every day, most days, I get up, my driveway is about twice along this room, and I walk out that driveway to get my mail and my paper and all. I pray as I thank You, Lord, I can still walk. I'll take me a breath and say, thank You, God, I can still breathe. I'll look at heaven and say, thank You, God, I can still see. I'll listen to the birds. I'll say, thank You, I can still hear. I'll say, thank You, I've got a family that loves me. I've got a church that loves me. Thank You, I'm in my right mind. Yes. And then I say, thank You, Lord, one day You're coming back on one of them clouds right there. That don't scare me. That excites me. That excites me. I'm ready to go. That's why it's called the blessed hope. Yes. Now, you know what's going to happen this week? Probably tomorrow. Somebody's going to make fun of you for who you are. If you're a believer. Now, if you're a man, you put on a dress and some lipstick and eye makeup, they ain't supposed to laugh at you. If you're a woman, you shave your head on one side and put studs all in your face, you know, and paint this side green or purple, they're not supposed to laugh at you. But if you say, I believe Jesus might come today, they're going to laugh you out of town. How messed up is that? If you rob a bank and shoot a cop or maybe shoot your way out of jail or something, they'll say, that poor boy, he was misled and misraised and all this stuff. If you stand out in public and somebody says, pray for me, and you're in the mall and you grab them and start praying out loud, they might want to put you in jail. Amen. And every bit of that does not discourage me. And I hear preachers get up and give the poor mouth all the time. Yes. About the stage of the times that we're in. I'm excited about the times that we're in. We're closer to Jesus than anybody's ever been before. He's coming. I'm excited about that. You say, don't you get tired of people making fun of you? Don't bother me a bit. Not anymore. It did when I was young, didn't know better. But don't bother me now. I say, amen, help yourself. I'll have the last laugh. Go ahead. Laugh while you can. The judge is coming. Amen. I've been tempted to buy me a car and ride on the back of it like that old GTO. Here come the judge. I might do that. That's not negative. That's positive. Now, here's my question. Are our children ready? Are our grandchildren ready? Some of you have great-grandchildren. Are they ready? Well, preacher, I'm ready. And you sing and you praise God and you attend church and everything. But let me ask you something. Is everybody in your house ready? Is everybody? Boy, we'll get a burden. We'll be excited about Jesus coming, but we ought to get a burden for those we love that doesn't know that, or they don't care, or they're not looking for Him. Because, Mama, just because you're saved, that doesn't mean your daughter's going. Daddy, just because you're saved don't mean son's going. Brother, sister. I want to go. I'm ready. I'm looking. I'm excited. I hope it happens tonight. But I love some people not ready. I'm excited for me, but I dread it for them. And I don't know but one thing to do, and they don't want us to do it. Tell me the story of Jesus. Write on my heart every word. Tell me the story most precious, sweetest that ever was heard. And a lot of them don't want to hear it. But the good news is, Jeffrey, we didn't want to hear it either. And somebody loved us enough, Hallwood had a burden enough, they told us anyway. And Brother Bill, I wish I could go back and get some of those people. They didn't go on to glory. I wish I could go back and get them, just grab them and hug them for about 30 minutes and thank them for having a burden for this old boy when he didn't even have a burden for himself. And now I get to go when the trumpet sounds. Hallelujah. Amen. 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 Whatever you want to say. Amen. He's coming. Are you ready? Is everybody at the house ready? Well, preacher, if I preach it too much, they're going to get mad at me. I'd rather them get mad at me over this than something else. By the way, if they're teenagers and kids, they're going to get mad at you anyway. Might as well make it over something worth being mad over. Amen. If it's a husband or wife, y'all going to get mad at each other sometimes anyway. I'd rather it be over this than over something else. This is the most important thing in the world, the blessed hope of the church of Jesus Christ. I plan on being here Wednesday night, but if I ain't, if I am not, these Yankees don't understand everything I say. I have to dumb it down sometimes. If I'm not here, and you are, it's one of two things. Either I died and went to heaven, or the trumpet sounded, I went to heaven and you didn't get to go. Because I'm going. Amen? Amen? Look, this church right here ought to be a good launching pad for people to go to heaven. Right here. This morning, God the Holy Ghost showed up. The Word of God in all its power was felt and observed. The presence of God was here today. Now, that gets people ready for the rapture. You say, well, I'm not good at knocking on doors and stuff. You get them in here, we'll witness to them. You get them in here. We'll get them ready for the rapture. You just get them in here. So I don't know all this stuff, but my preacher preaches it. You come down there and sit with me. He'll tell you. Or my Sunday school teacher will tell you. Or we'll make Belinda tell you. Or Mike tell you. Or Ron tell you. Or Dan tell you. There's plenty of people in here can tell them. If you'll just get them in here. This is a rescue boat, folks. You bring them in, the trumpet's fixing to sound. Yes. We saw that this morning, and we're fixing to go. And I don't want to leave nobody behind. And I aggravate people, I know I do. And I know I'm a dinosaur. But it's always worked, and I don't have no intention of changing. Let's do it. Let's go out of here this week and turn the world upside down, Ronell. Let's turn it. That's what the apostles did. 12 men turned the world upside down. Surely we can do that. We can turn Indian land upside down. We can turn Clover upside down. We can turn Van Wack upside down. We can turn Rock Hill, Mill Hills upside down. We can even turn Chester, South Carolina upside down. Richburg, amen? Yeah, there is somebody here from Lancaster. Yeah, amen. Let's do it. Do you believe the Bible?
Yes.
Are you saved?
Yes.
Well, let's get busy.
Yeah.
Let's stand. Father, thank you.